Good morning, church. Oh, you guys are quiet and attentive right from the beginning. Awesome. Wonderful. You guys ready to worship the Lord this morning? I'm ready. I'm ready to come into his presence this morning. I'm ready for him to tell me who I am this morning. So I just want to pray. Pastor Jason's going to read a scripture, and we're just going to begin the service with prayer and with the word. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you today. God, we give you all honor, all praise, and all glory. God, you alone are worthy of our worship. You alone, God, are worthy of our praise. Father, we open our hearts to you today, God. Pray that you would invade. Father, I pray that you give us ears to hear this morning. That you would speak, Father. Speak, Father, for your servants are listening this morning. We turn our hearts to you, God. We turn our ears to you, God. Pray that you would open blind eyes this morning, that we would see, that we would have revelation, that we would have knowledge, God, that you would give us wisdom. Generously give us wisdom, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand with me. I'm going to read a call to worship today out of Psalm 5. It says this, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." Let's worship the risen King today. Amen.
Church, this morning we're going to take communion together. And when I dismiss you to move, you guys are going to come down these aisles straight toward the table, and you're going to take your elements, you're going to hold on to them and circle back to your seats, and we'll take communion together. The plate in the middle is gluten-free, so if you're gluten-free, that's for you. As you were worshiping, the Lord said to me that he chastises those that he loves. He brings correction to his sons and to his daughters. And over the course of the past 2 weeks, I've had two opportunities to engage in this corrective process with someone who lives in my house, and it was really not pleasant. It was not pleasant, and as each of those opportunities were occurring, I sensed the Holy Spirit in them, and he was just helping me, and he was saying, "This is needed, and it's good, and it's right. Just be gentle and kind. Just be gentle and kind." And I sensed how important it was that I communicate love in the process while still explaining how this thing was putting space between us. And then I would hug that person close and give this physical reminder of my love. And then I would explain again that until we could deal with the thing, this confession that needed to be made, this coming into the truth needed to happen. And it took time to get this person there. And it was hard. But after it was all said and done, that person would go and play and do. And then every once in a while, they would come and find me and just hug me. And then they came and they found me and they wrote me a note how much they loved me. And the Lord just showed me that sometimes we don't step into correction as a parent or even as pastors. We don't want to step in and we don't want to bring correction because we're afraid it's going to create distance. But there already is distance. And that's what we don't sometimes understand. And we hadn't been kind of engaging with this person who lives in our home in the way that we ought to have been because it was difficult, because it was easier not to. And because it was scary doing it, because, you know, it doesn't always feel like, well, I don't know if this is exactly the right thing. And sometimes things escalate when you bring correction. But what happened afterward was amazing. And then this morning, here I am, and this person, who normally is just very doing their own thing during worship, is worshiping. And there's a different spirit happening that I'm seeing. And the Lord said, this is because of the correction that you've been bringing. Keep going. So church, for you this morning, I want to ask you, do you want to be corrected by the Lord? Do you want, you're praying prayer saying, God, free me from this thing. God, where are you? I've been praying for so long for victory. What are you doing? And he has been standing, and he has been waiting, and he has correction. He wants to tear out by the roots those things that are keeping you bound. But he's not a bully, and he's not going to do it by force. He has correction for us, church. He's been correcting me in how I've been neglecting to handle some things. And so I have a choice to make. Do I bloom under the correction, knowing that I am loved and that this is his love for me? Or do, if he brings correction, am I going to just melt into self-pity and into this ugly, manipulative space of, oh, I just suck. Oh, I'm just terrible. Obviously, you've confirmed it. When you go into that space, when every time someone tries to bring correction or there's an opportunity to grow, you crumble under it. When you do that, you become unteachable. You're not going to grow. And our hearts long for connection with the Father. Our hearts long for connection with one another. So this morning, church, is my challenge to you is, do you really want the connection? You need it. It's not optional. You cannot heal without connection to the Father. To bring it back around to my house, this person, connection is vital. It's not optional. And they couldn't have been asking for correction more, I'll be honest. They needed me. They needed me to step in and do the hard thing and bring correction. But the Father is willing. He's always standing there wanting to gently show you the lie that you've been living, the lie that you will not let go because you're afraid, the lie that is keeping you in bondage. And he sees it clearly that it's connected to your suffering, but you do not. So you keep asking, why won't you help me? Why won't you help me? And he knows that what is keeping you is this thing that you are holding so tightly to, and you're just scared. But he has already told us there's no condemnation for you. He loves you. There's no condemnation. You don't have to be afraid. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. So as we come to communion today, church, I want to ask you to trust him and to open up your heart and say, God, show me the correction that I need. Show me, God. Give me a course correction. Show me what I need to see this morning, Lord. I want to see it. I want to see it. And then don't panic. When what comes up, don't panic. Just receive it. And know that if he's bringing it to you, he will also show you the way out. He will show you the way out. It's not on you. You're not by yourself. You're not alone. He loves you this morning, church. He loves you. And he wants to bring you into freedom this morning. So, okay, I dismiss you. You can come to the table. The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is the supernatural impartation of grace. And this morning, I just decree and I declare in the name of Jesus that there is a grace for correction this morning. There's a grace for growth this morning. There's a grace for receiving his love this morning.
So Pastor Liz just brought that word of correction, and it made me smile because the worship team prays before service and we take communion, and Sydney also felt led to speak on correction and how the Lord is leading us, in that God is our Father. In our relationship with Him, if we don't understand Him as Father, it messes up everything else in our life and how we view God. And understanding His correction is so important, because Paul says that if we're not being corrected, then we are not sons. We are not children of the Father. So when He does correct us, that means we are His kids. And so one of my prayers is, God, please never take Your correction away from me, because I always want to be Your child. I always want to be Your son. His correction is so good, and we should delight in it when it is hard, because we know that His heart for us is always good, and it's pure, and it's for us to know Him and for us to be known by Him. And so, yes, let's take on the correction of the Lord and let Him convict our hearts so perfectly, as He always does.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's just take that moment now to hear and receive from the Lord regarding our lives before we partake. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your correction. Jesus, we thank You for Your sacrifice, Your body broken, Your blood shed, so that we can truly be sons and daughters of the Most High God. To be part of that family. And Lord, the things that You brought to our attention this morning that needed shifted, corrected in our life, Father, we release them to You to do what You want to do with those in our life, Father. And although it may be difficult and challenging, it's not always easy. But Lord, this morning we are releasing our hearts, are opening our hearts to have Your way in that space, in that place, with that thing, with that challenge, with that issue that You have pointed out to us clearly this morning. Whether it's that sin, that bondage, whatever it is, Lord, that You are making it so clear, at this time of communion we will mark and remember that not only did You point it out, but You were working to make a way. You were working to make a way for restoration and wholeness. It's by Your body and by Your blood, for there is no other way. Thank You, Lord. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke and He said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let us partake. the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake.
Can go ahead and stand up. We're going to continue to worship the Lord this morning. As we worship, the altar is always open during the first song for dancing and praising, the second song for weeping, repenting, for worship, dancing and praising. And the altar is always open. I encourage you to trust in the name of Jesus this morning. I encourage you to trust in his love. I encourage you to lay down before him all the things that would get in the way between you and him, because he loves you this morning and he wants to set you free this morning. So let's worship. Church, when there is safe parenting from heaven, from the most perfect father, when there is safe parenting, it's like you can run as fast as you can toward the edge of the cliff, knowing that he will stomp you. Like, you don't have to worry about the edge of the cliff, because he has set boundaries in place for us that are good and right and safe, and we seek those boundaries and we know those boundaries so that within them there's no fear whatsoever. There's no fear. Good parenting leads to a carefree, joyful childhood, where children can romp and play, knowing if they get close to a boundary, you will lovingly bring them in. Not that they will get squashed in your anger when they hit the boundary, and not that they're going to let them climb over the boundary because you're too tired to deal with it. Correction and boundaries are good parenting. It brings safety and it brings freedom. And what's crazy is we think as adults that we know. And that's where it's just pride. We think we know. Well, I can make my own decision. I can make my own decision. I mean, God gave me two eyes. We know. But we are children in the kingdom. Our role is clear. We are children. We have limited sight. And we get into danger, we get into tragedy and issues and problems and bondage because we think we know. But like my children, they weren't allowed to play near the street. Or I taught them about the street. I taught them the boundary. And here's why it is. This is to keep you safe. So the Lord says, don't get drunk. It's to keep you safe. It's not because he's a killjoy. Because let me tell you, I enjoy a beer by my pool in the summer, and it is joyful and fun, but there is no drunkenness at the Ackerman household. Because the boundary is there to keep us safe, and we're no fools. We trust him. So don't get drunk on wine. Don't mistreat somebody because they triggered you. Run away. Put your hand over your mouth and run away. There'll be less apologies to make later. Run into the arms of the Father. He's a good father. There are boundaries to protect us. And your boundaries might be different than mine. Just so you know, he knows you and he knows me. And I might be allowed to have a beer by my pool in the summer when I'm just relaxing with my family, and you might not be allowed to. That's just the truth. You don't have to like it. That's the truth, because he knows you. He knows what is dangerous for you versus what is dangerous for me. There are things in my life that are a big no, that are a yes for a lot of people. And boy, is it frustrating. But I'm not strong enough yet. I can't handle that freedom. And Lord knows I don't want any freedom that I'm not ready for, because I'm no fool. I don't want to be a fool. Mostly just because I'm tired of learning the hard way. Is anyone else just tired of learning the hard way? I've become eager for correction because I'm tired of falling into ditches. I'm tired of, you know, having the proverbial hangover the next day and being in pain and death and destruction. I just don't want it anymore. So, church, I just encourage you to seek the correction of God. And then I also want to say this. So we're gentle parenting people for the most part. I mean, we'll bring the hammer if the hammer needs to be brought, but that's not really up to us. It's up to them and how stubborn they want to be. How far you want to take this, buddy, you know, how far you want to go. I would prefer not to go there. That's not fun. But if you continue on in the path you're going, I mean, that's what you're choosing. And we make that clear to them. In the church, what's difficult is we're meant to be a family. And when I correct my kids, they can't leave. They can't go anywhere. I mean, I'm their person. And we steward a trust with them that we will be gentle, that we are kind, that we are good, that we will not crush them, that we're not looking to kill their joy. They know that. I like to feed their joy. And they know that. So when one of them was invited to Splash Lagoon for a birthday party, we have a thing, I just don't do it. It's just inside and the chemical fumes are just too much. And they know, I'm like, listen, I'm not trying to kill your fun. Maybe we could have a play date instead. Like, I give them, it's kind. But they can't leave. And what's hard in the church is that to bring correction and even to do it gently, how many times have we seen in the church where people like throw down their toys and walk away? And it's heartbreaking. So I'm just asking, like, as a church, as a body of believers, are you open to being in a family and being a part of a family? Being part of a marriage, you have to trust one another to bring correction. This guy and this guy here know. They have been commissioned. If I go over a cliff, I'm going to be mad at them. I want the boundary. I want the correction. They're responsible for me. I've said so. I've gone to them and said, tell me, am I the problem? I got to be the problem because look, this and this and this, and I'm the common denominator. And I let them speak truth into my life. They're not near as hard on me as I wish they would be. There's so much love there, and there's trust that they steward. So I just wanted to impart all of that into your hearts this morning. We love you. And we long for you to walk in freedom and in grace. All of it. All of it. I don't want partial freedom for my kids, and I want partial freedom for you. I want joy. And if you're uncertain, like, God, am I good? Are we good? Is everything okay? Do you have correction? I'm not sure. I'm not hearing correction. I've said this to him, like, dude, if there's the absence of the fruits of the Spirit, don't think for a minute that the Spirit is in operation. So when our house is full of strife, and we're at each other, and we're at them, and there's no peace and there's no patience, there's definitely not gentleness, we run to the Lord. We have to begin to intentionally submit ourselves first thing in the morning and out loud. God, I invite you, Holy Spirit, have your way. Less of me and more of you. The fruit of the Spirit is a good measure. It's a good gauge. And it's not in trying to be peaceful. It doesn't work. It's called anxiety. It doesn't work. When you try to have peace, it's the supernatural fruit of the Spirit. So let's close in prayer. Yeah. Heavenly Father, God, we just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory this morning. We magnify the name of Jesus above every other name. Father, we come before you as a body of believers, as a family of God, as sons and daughters, God, and we honor you, we praise you, we glorify you, and we say, God, have your way. Have your way, God, in our marriages. Have your way, God. Have your way in our past, our present, and our future. Father, heal our hearts. God, bring us into a new love understanding. God, bring healing. Father, cast out fear. Father, we want to be healed. Father, have your way in our marriages. Have your way in our parenting. God, break the generational cycles of abuse and dysfunction. God, let it end with us. No more. No more lazy parenting. God, in the name of Jesus, Father, help us to rise up off the couch and bring gentle correction to our children. Father, when we're tired, God, give us strength. Father, no more lazy friendships. God, I pray that you would help us to release those people that we love to be imperfect. God, I pray against unholy expectations that we place on other people to love us perfectly, to make us feel loved. God, we want to just receive our love from you. God, we are loved. Father, I pray that we would be rooted and grounded in your love, Father, that we then can love well. That we become rivers of living water, that we become rivers of love. Not that we're not desperate to be seen and heard and known because we already are seen and heard and known by you, God, but that we can go out and we can be those that see. We can be those that hear and that know and that love others, and we do it in the name of the Lord. Father, that others would see you, that your kingdom would grow in us and through us. God, have your way. We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's the goal, church. It's the goal to be so well loved at home that we don't have to go into every room and every conversation needing. We don't have to enter into every friendship needing. Oh, Lord, let it be. It feels so good. We had a thing. We had a thing. In the morning, he always sends me an email, a morning note. And he's like, man, thank you so much for yesterday. My response back was, babe, I was so excited to be able to give. I was so excited to be able to recognize what was happening in our home that I got to show up for once. Like, and be able to show up well for you. It was an honor. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And it was just this nurturing moment for us this week that happened. So that's the whole thing. Just get with God and be so well loved with God. Don't be afraid to amputate, to let him amputate the growths that you've lived with forever. I know it's scary. Trust me, I know it's scary to really jump in with him and live a new way, but it's worth it. It's worth it. He's so good, and he will not leave you in the process. You will run away a few times in the process. I promise you that, but he will not go anywhere. He'll be right there waiting. All right. Let's move on with our service. As hard as it is, I just could stay all day in the presence of God. But we're going to enter in the presence of God through fellowship. Y'all, fellowship is mandated in the Word. We have to fellowship with one another. Introverts, you have to do it. But listen to this. You don't have to do it with everybody. You can have a small circle. Man, the Lord help me. You can be you. You can have a small circle. You don't have to fellowship with everybody all at once, okay? It's all right. But we're going to fellowship. We're going to just take 8 minutes usually. Y'all can talk to one another. Just check in with each other. Say hello to someone you haven't said hello to, people you don't know. We're also going to, our offering buckets are up here. You know, we do this like this now. We used to pass the buckets, but we put them up here. That was started with COVID, but I like it. I like it because it's you activate yourself. You stand up and you walk and you give your money to God. Make no mistake about it. You're not giving it to us. You're not. You're giving it to God. And he's going to do with it what he sees fit to do with it, which is, you know, here it's really just pay the mortgage and keep the lights on and upgrade AV equipment and do things so that we can meet together and we can minister and we can fill up in the school and all these things. But it's an act of worship. Worship isn't just singing. Worship is fellowship. Worship is giving the tithes to the God. It's laying down your hold on finances and saying, I trust you, God. Here's the first chunk. I trust you, God. And then worship is the Word and digging into the Word and learning and being inspired and being corrected and growing in the knowledge of God through his Word. So the whole service is worship. Dropping your kids off at the nursery is worship. Just kidding. The nursery's open 0 to 3. Little's ministry is freedom. Ages 4, 5, and 6. If you're a guest and you have older kids, we have Kid Corner. If you're an ECF kid, you know about Kid Corner. So let's take a break. If you're a guest on the back of the seats, there's a connection card. You can put your email. We'll send you a welcome email and we'll connect you in with information about our church, about who we are. So that's there. That card goes in these offering buckets. And we're going to take this break and we'll come back together. This is great. I feel like I am R&Bing it like crazy up here. And all the 90s kids are like, yeah. All right, I have some announcement. Announcements, multiple, plural. I always wait for Donahue to get back to his seat. Donahue wins the most social award at ECF Church. I love it. All right. Word for You Today booklets are available on the back table and the sanctuary. If I had one, yeah, I know I should have one. The Word for You Today is a devotional that we do not write. Don't be confused. Our picture is in the front of it. You know, we wrote a little message, but we don't write the devotional, but we do participate in the distribution. It's a good one. It's a good devotional. So go ahead and pick that up if you haven't. Also on the back table are the Bible reading bookmarks. How many of you use the bookmarks? Give me a show of hands. And it's okay, I don't. So don't feel bad if you don't. I just want to see. All right, Pastor Jason, Lena and Pastor Jason use the bookmarks. Yeah? Oh, okay. All right. All right. I was just curious. I love the bookmarks as an idea in that you get a fresh start every month. And if you are that person that likes to be systematic, then those bookmarks are for you. If you're a person who wants to be a little bit more systematic, which is me, like I'm earnest. Sometimes I start the bookmark, and that's a good start. But those are back there. Also, life groups. So young adult life group, 6 p.m. on Tuesday. There's Sid. This group is for ages 18 to 28 years old only. If you want more information, you can email Sydney at ecfchurch.org to get info. Second and fourth Tuesdays, 6 p.m., the Rose Center is the white office farmhouse up here on the campus. Also, Wednesday is Women to Women, 6 p.m. at Maureen's house. That's Joanna and Maureen. If you want location details, you can email ecf at ecfchurch.org, or you can like hoof it up front. And talk to Maureen after service. Actually, Maureen usually comes up. She's a prayer. At the end of service, you know, we have people come up to pray. She's usually up here for that as well. And lastly, Saturday, Men to Men is at 8 a.m. at the Rose Center. You know what? Rich Horniman, I know he's not here. Why isn't his picture up there? Got to get his picture up there. If everyone else has to have their picture up so we can see their faces, I wanted to look up and see Rich. Anyway, Rich has been leading Men to Men for a long time. It's a great group of men. Pastor Andy attends, and it just has nothing like, I mean, these guys, it's just real relationship. It's real word. It's real good. So men, do your wives a favor and grow in God, you know? Like, that's like the greatest gift you can give your wife is to just grow in God and work on your heart. You know, all those things. It's so good for your marriage. It's so good. So that's the first and third Saturday at 8 a.m. Up at the Rose Center.
All right. Okay. How we doing? Get ready to go? All right, ready to honor the Lord with our giving? Amen. Did anybody notice anything when you came in today? Okay, a couple people pointed out to me right away. I guess you guys must have like a radar screen on. Like you must walk in and say, has a debt square come off the chart, yes or no? You must, either that or it's like people know it. Like I walked in and even my kids were like, hey, Dad, did you know that there's a debt square? I was like, really? No, I didn't know. Of course I knew. I was the one who told them to take it down. But I love it, and God is just continuing to move and work. I know you can't see that number because it is pretty small, but we're hoping it gets smaller, and we're praying and believing it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But right now, our next target to cross off is 825,000. And I don't remember, what's the number when we started this chart? It was 1.25 million. So we are down exactly $400,000. Of debt. Can we give God a hand for that? Amen. I mean, that's it's an incredible journey over the past couple years. We're praying and believing. There's still a lot of squares on there, and we want to get all those squares off, and the Lord wants to do that. We know He does. He's spoken that to us. And He really had a word for us last year about being debt-free. Well, He really told us to be debt-free when we took over the church 5 years ago or so. We took over. Yeah, when the Lord placed us in leadership over this church, somewhat reluctantly, like, Lord, are you sure? Really? Really? Actually, we talked to somebody who said, is a counselor, pastor at One Focus Network, and said, if you can say no to ministry. It, honestly, and like reflecting back, like that is really good advice. If you can say no, if you are unsure of the calling to be in pastoral leadership, if you're not quite sure, then it's easier to, you really should say no until you know for sure. Well, we knew for sure, so we said yes. But he really told us to be debt free. And we believe last year, as we were praying and believing, and I got multiple text messages from people in the church saying, in the spiritual realm, we were debt free in 2023. Meaning the prayers that went forth, the intercession that went forth in the spiritual realm broke the chains of debt, and we are debt free in Jesus' name. And so we believe that. We're just walking in the physical realm, waiting to see all those squares come off and be done in the name of Jesus. And there's so many things we want to go do financially when we stop paying that mortgage. We're really looking forward to it. My scripture today, and thank you for those who give above and beyond your tithes and offerings. On the offering envelope, there is a second line item down that says building fund or debt reduction. And I know quite a few of you participate in that, so I want to thank you. Say thank you to that. And if you're feeling challenged at all to do that above and beyond your tithes and offerings, I would encourage you to do that. And in fact, a couple weeks from now, we're actually talk more about that. So stay tuned for sort of a church family discussion regarding finances that will be coming up soon, and we'll make sure to announce that so you know exactly when that is. My scripture this morning out of 1 John 5, this was part of our reading. It was on the bookmark. Lena. Lena knows. Because Lane and I read the book, we're reading through the bookmark. So I couldn't see. All I heard you say. So all those who are reading the bookmark, with me on the bookmarks, 1 John 5 was one of the readings that we recently did. And it says this, By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commands. Okay. We all know that. The Bible talks a lot about keeping his commands. But verse 3 is interesting here. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. Woo. And when I read that, it really popped up to me thinking about tithing. It just hit me. Like a command of God that he places in the Bible that we are to give back to him a portion of what he has given us. And the Bible talks about a tithe, which is a 10%, and he always is challenging us to be a cheerful giver, to give above and beyond. But his commandments, when we follow his commandments, they are not burdensome. Meaning that even though he's calling us to do it, and it may feel like a challenge, it may feel difficult, the Lord is saying, when you obey my commands and you operate in those things, it is not a burden to you. It's an actual blessing to you. And we have seen in our own lives that when we have tithed our entire marriage, that God continuously does more with 90% than I can do with 100. We'll say that again. God can do more with that 90% than I can try to do with all 100. And it's just a principle that God says, and it's the reason why it's not burdensome. Because he takes care of it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to try to figure it out, but he takes care of it. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every gift giver that's here, Father God. I just thank you, Lord, for these tithes, these offerings, this building fund, the debt reduction, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and we just declare and decree in the name of Jesus that we are debt-free, Father. And Lord, that you are working in the physical realm to line up with the spiritual realm, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that tithing is not burdensome, Father God, but that is a blessing that we will trust in you, Father God, with our finances. And Father, I just pray over this message today as it truly links back to everything we've actually been talking about so far this morning, Lord, that you would bless it, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We are, if you're new here or a guest, we're doing a series called the Sermon on the Mount, the Way of Jesus, and we have started at the very end of Matthew 4. We worked our way scripture by scripture all the way through Matthew 5. We worked ourselves scripture by scripture all the way through Matthew 6. And now we're starting in Matthew 7. There's a couple passages of scripture here that kind of go together. And I'm going to be reading the beginning part of Matthew 7 this morning. And it's interesting, it's a blessing, that the Holy Spirit always works together for each of one of our church services. Because the stuff I'm going to be talking about this morning is a lot of stuff of what you've already heard today. what God is already doing and working in our hearts and in our lives. And I just find it amazing that Sid was doing it at communion with the worship team, and Andy had a word on it, and Pastor Liz had a word. I mean, it's just something that God is really working and doing. So the title of my message this week is Stop That. Stop that. Right, you ever talk to your kids? How many times have you said that to your kids? Stop that. And normally, by the time you start saying stop that in that type of tone, you probably already use like the pleasure words like, hey, honey, would you mind not doing that anymore? That noise you're making with that piece of paper that I don't understand, how you're making that noise, could you please refrain from doing that? And then it keeps going. And then you say, hey, baby, my love, you're so sweet. My love is great for you. Whatever you're doing with that piece of paper, could you stop that? And then you continue on and on, and it's just, and for whatever reason, they're fidgeting with their fingers. And at some point, you're just like, stop that! Stop that! And the reason why I bring that up for this, for the title of the message, is we're going to be talking about judging others. Stop that! What does the Bible say about judging others, and what does that look like? And what are we really allowed to judge, and what can't we judge? And what is Jesus talking about when he's saying, do not judge? Let me think. Does he really mean what he said, do not judge? Or is there situations and places where we're in that maybe we need to have some kind of judgment over something? So what does that look like? And my main point, I don't have it here, but I just want to say it, is do not partner with the spirit of judgment. Again, look, everything we're talking about here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' whole message of the Sermon on the Mount is all about our heart. It's all about our heart. And we make partnerships with our heart, with fear sometimes, with anxiety, with other things. And what God is speaking, what Jesus is saying here is, do not make a partnership with the spirit of judgment. Stop that. Stop doing that. And here's another phrase that Pastor Liz has that she had says, I don't have it up here, but you could write it down. I think it is very, very powerful. And it goes along with this in a similar way. It says this, says, have no opinion where you have no responsibility or authority. Ooh, that's hard to do, right? That is hard to do, because sometimes you walk into Wegmans and you have opinion on that bagger, on how they bag your groceries, and it gets you fired up sometimes, right? But it's saying this is have no opinion. Now, that's hard to do. We always have opinions. I'm going to kind of walk through what to do and how to really arrest that cycle that happens, because it starts with an opinion, and then it grows into a stronger and stronger, into an eventual judgment. And you are standing in judgment over somebody, over leaders that have been put in place over you, or whatever it might be, over your boss. You begin to stand in judgment. And the God is saying is, when we get partnered with the spirit of judgment, he doesn't want us to do that. So Matthew 7, let me read verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Whew. Can we park there just for a minute? Judge not. So Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people. Again, this is a Sermon on the Mount. We can't tell if this was, if you just read it through, it was like, you know, 23 minutes sermon. But I'm pretty sure this was over multiple days. And the disciples in the Gospels wrote down different portions of this Sermon on the Mount. But here he says, judge not that you be not judged. And we see that in the Bible over and over, that the Bible tells us in much as we do something, it actually gets returned back to us. Same way with giving, and we're going to look at that in a minute, in a little bit. So what does to judge mean? So first of all, it's like, okay, if Jesus is telling me not to do this, what does he mean by this? So to judge means this, is to form an opinion or conclusion regarding something. To form an opinion or a conclusion to something. And here's some of the points that I have to constantly remember, and even Pastor Liz said it earlier. We have to remember that we don't have the whole story. Only God does. We don't know the whole story. Only God does. And in fact, to go one step further, is we don't know someone's heart the way God does. We may think we know their heart. We may see how they're acting. We may see how they're dressing. We may see the things that they're doing. And we begin to form opinions and judgments over things. And Jesus is saying, judge not. Why? Because you don't know the whole story. You don't know their heart truly. And there's a difference between this and discernment. We'll get to that in a minute. But God is saying is if he has not placed you in authority or responsibility over someone, like your children, if you are not in authority or responsibility, your job is not to judge them. Your job is actually to love them. And so when someone walks into church and they are seeking God and they are far from God and you have no idea where they were last night or the background that they're in, or you're like, wow, I don't understand why is this person dressing like this? What is going on with that? And you begin to form opinions and conclusions regarding somebody you see, Jesus is saying, stop that. You have no idea. You have no idea where they've been. You have no idea what they've been through. And they are coming to seek me, so do not judge them. God knows the whole story from the beginning to the end, and he is working in people's lives, and we don't get to judge them regarding where they're currently at. Now, this judgment, it is different than discernment. You know, we're talking about some of the fruits of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit, there's 9 of them. There's also 9 fruit, but there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the gift of discernment. Understanding and discerning spiritual things. Not discerning somebody's attitude necessarily, but discerning what is the root and the actual background of why that person is doing or acting in a certain way. That is discernment. And when operating properly, you actually have a compassion and a love for that person and what they're going through, because you understand that they are partnering with a spirit from the enemy, and you're able to see that. You're able to understand that, and that is very different than judging. They are 2 totally different things. And I'm not going to talk too much about the gifts of the Spirit, but I want you guys to understand, because when you see this discernment, you're seeing the real battle, the partnership with the real enemy. James chapter 4, it's not on the screen, but in verse 11, I'm going to read it. It says, do not speak evil of one another, my brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another? So what do we read out of this passage of Scripture is God is the judge. Jesus is our Savior. The Holy Spirit does the convicting, and we are to love. And you think of how, you know, so this is the Godhead, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do they operate in this? And here it's very clear through the Scriptures that God, ultimately, we will stand before God. And Jesus is going to be with us, those who have accepted Jesus. And he is the one who is going to say, yes, this person has accepted me and loves me. But there is something called a Bema judgment seat, and we're going to be in front of God someday. And because Jesus is our Savior, Jesus goes with us to that. But the Holy Spirit is the one who does the convicting. And I think too often we get into judgmental situations and we want to try to fix somebody right away by saying and doing certain things out of our own strength and out of our own power. And really, at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit who ultimately does the convicting. It is our job to love. And what is love? Love is doing the best possible thing for the person in the moment. And as Pastor Lid has mentioned earlier, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit at the end of the message, is that we, as your pastors, as ones who God has put in spiritual authority over this church, it is actually our job, one of the jobs we have, is to speak into your lives and to bring some of that correction as God helps us to do that with you guys. And we were talking about in that prayer we had earlier, we were praying about this and we were seeking God in this. And Lord, bring understanding of the things in our life, and Holy Spirit, convict us of those things. And a lot of times God does end up using people to be the avenue of helping to do that, especially when they're in spiritual authority. So we're going to get more of that in just a little bit. So the question is, so Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. Does that mean we never judge? Because we have to remember that Scripture interprets Scripture. So we cannot take one portion of Scripture and say, oh, Jesus said don't judge. That means I never have to judge ever. No, but God talks about judging. Where you have authority and where you have responsibility. So parents, sorry. You actually have to do this. We call it lazy parenting. You know, we've fallen into those traps. Couch parenting, right? Yelling from the couch, you know, five rooms down the hallway. You know, stop doing that! And you start yelling because we're tired and we don't want to get up. But parents, we are responsible. God has placed us in authority over our kids, that we have to make conclusions. We have to make judgments through prayer and through correcting in love. That is actually something we have to go do. God also does not prohibit us from making moral judgments. John 7, verse 24 says this, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Again, getting back into the discerning of the Spirit, the righteous judgment is what's actually going on here, and seeking the Lord in that is how we have to operate in that way. So God does, and this is really back to the heart of it, He forbids a critical and judgmental spirit. So here are some phrases. I'm going to help you here a little bit this morning. Here are some phrases that you might say or think that you need to be very careful, that you might be beginning to walk in judgment on. You ready? Aunt Susie just needs to stop being so emotional about everything. Hopefully you don't know anyone has an Aunt Susie. I'm just picking names out here. So if I say your name by accident, you know, I try to think of, you know, I don't know any Aunt Susies in the church, okay? Here's another one. Why on earth? You know, and most of these come with a little eye roll, a little head wave. Right? It's like if your neck is moving and the eyes are going in the back of your head as you're speaking, you are talking in judgment right now. Right? It's just like that's an easy way for you to realize what's going on. If you start shaking the head and you get a little bit of an attitude in your voice, why on earth does Jimmy never come to church? What is wrong with that kid? Oh. Have you seen the way they treat their kids? Oh. Yeah? So if you ever just say a phrase and you have a big inhale afterwards, you're looking, you're in danger. You got to check yourself, right? You got to be like, am I walking in judgment here or not? Here's a fun one. Here, there's a name. No one has this last name, but I'll say it. Can you believe how much junk food those Bonhoeffers eat? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there's a little bit of thing, a little history there. Oh, I would never do that. How about that one? You ever seen that? Yeah. Oh, I would never do that. Or someone flies by you driving a little over the speed limit, right? Oh, my gosh. Someone's going to get in trouble. Someone's going to have a terrible, right? And you begin to act. So these are funny ones, but there are not so funny ones in our life. And I don't need to point some of those out. But you know, and we have to really check. And Jesus is saying, judge not lest you be judged. So if we want to be judged in that way on our driving, let's start judging everybody else regarding how they're driving. It's kind of a funny example, but this is serious stuff. We have so many opinions. And some of the opinions we don't even realize we have because the media has told us to think this way. And we have to be very careful and conscious of the things that we are believing and limit those things to what's in the Word of God and pray for a discerning spirit so that we do not judge others. James 2 verse 12 says this, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy.
mercy triumphs over judgment. Wow. Verse 2. For with that judgment you judge. You will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Oh. This applies to like every area of our life. And we have found it in parenting. The more gentle we are with our kids, the more gentle they are with each other. And if I'm having a bad day, week, sometimes month, and I'm a little harsh with the kids, I will hear from the other room a harshness between my children, and my first inclination is to lay down the judgment hammer on them, right? That's what, oh, right? We're breathing in, we're saying, oh my goodness, can you believe how they're treating each other? And you're marching in, or you're yelling from the couch the other thing, stop treating each other that way. You're speaking terrible of each other. You're calling each other names. And in reality, our children are a reflection of us. That is a very difficult thing. It's like you're walking around with a constant mirror in front of you all the time. If you can say no, say no. I know God blesses us and wants us to have kids. But honestly, it's like there is this thing that they are really a reflection. They are a mirror back to us. And this whole concept that's used throughout the Bible is the more you operate in something, the more it's returned to you. The more we operate in something, the more it gets returned to you. In Luke 6, 37 says this, judge not so that you shall not be judged. Condemn not so that you won't be condemned. Forgive so you can be forgiven. There's both positives and negatives. Give, and it would be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And the Lord put it into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Oh, stop that. Stop that. Verse 3. I got to move on. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Oh, here we go. And do not consider the plank in your own eye. Okay, so I wear contacts. And sometimes, you know, my contacts start to get a little blurry or they get a little dry. And when there's a little speck in your eye, like it's annoying, right? It's annoying. And a lot of times we very clearly see the speck in other people, right? Their little issues, their challenges, or whatever it might be. And it's just like, man, it's not. But this is God, Jesus is talking to us, is, but are you even considering the plank in your own eye? A plank, not a little speck of dust for those who are in construction. It's like a plank that gets whacked right in the head, right? It's like, that is what we should be focused on, not somebody else's speck. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye? I see how you are treating your children. Let me help you with this. Right? And your children are running around yelling at each other, right? I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, I need to have a discerning spirit here. Let me remove the speck from your eye and look at the plank as in your own eye. Here's the point of this scripture. We tend to see the faults in others that most closely align with our own faults. Can we put that up there? We tend to see the faults in others that most closely align with our own faults. You know that to be true, right? I mean, a lot of times it's interesting, like we have a lot of grace and mercy sometimes for people's faults that are different than ours. Like, oh yeah, you know, they're just being passionate, or they're just being this, or just being that. But when there's something that's more closely related to us, man, it's like, right, being not kind to each other, that's like, well, I hear that right away. Because it's something that I'm working on, that I'm dealing with. I see the speck in your eye, but guess what? I only see the speck in your eye because there's a big old plank in my own. And we have to recognize that this is how we operate, this is how God designed us to be. Some examples in our own kids, I kind of gave one already, but caring very much about what people think. Man, my kids care so much about what people think. And when they do that and they see that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, why do you care? Why? And then I look in the mirror and say, well, Pastor Jason, It's because you care a whole lot about what people think. Do you think that they are not going to have that same challenge? And it gets into this generational stuff that our kids and those with us is we're able to see these things in other people that really are things that we are challenged with ourselves. Okay, I have a little more on that, but I want to keep moving. Verse 5. Hypocrite! The plank, the speck, hypocrite! And this is exclamation point. There's not a whole lot of exclamation points in the Bible, but you know, when they're put in there, you got to think that whoever said it, in this case, Jesus. Jesus. I didn't do a Google search on how many times, you know, the red letters have an exclamation point in it. I don't think there's a ton. There's probably a few. But here's one of them. You think Jesus is serious about this? Talks about the speck and the plank, and then he yells out. Like, I don't know if he's on the Sermon on the Mount, right? You know, he doesn't have a microphone. There's no AV technology recording his messages. He's not streaming live anywhere. But he's standing there or sitting there, and he yells out this word, hypocrite! And you ever notice, like, you know, sometimes in like when you're listening to something, it gets your attention. This gets your attention. And then he goes and repeats very similar to what he just said, like, I don't think you were hearing me about the speck and the plank. Hypocrite! Listen up! I can imagine everyone got real silent at the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, this is serious. What's he talking about? First, then he tells us what to do. First, remove the plank from your own eye. Woo! Have we not been talking about that all service? What is the thing that the Lord is bringing correction to us on? What is the Lord speaking into our own life that he wants to do in my own life to get whole? What is the things he's kind of like tweaking at and saying, this is something. What about this? You're operating in this. This isn't lining up with my word, my son, my daughter. In loving correction to us, this is what Jesus is saying. Take care of that first. And this feels like it's a never-ending process, which in a lot of ways, this is what Jesus is saying. When you keep working on you, the grace and mercy and the ability to love and have compassion for others grows exponentially because God is working on ourselves. So work on yourself first before trying to address others. Because that scripture says this, remove the plank from your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And how true is that? When you have a revelation in ministry or a revelation of the Word of God, you are able to then minister out of that revelation. Because God has taught you something. That plank has been removed. And you're now able to speak into somebody else's life regarding that situation or that circumstance. We were just recently at a marriage conference. And one of the sessions, we were down in North Carolina, and it was great. So we were at this marriage conference, but it said the best way to improve your marriage is to improve yourself. And it was like, you know, a lot of marriage conferences talk about, well, you know, go out on more date nights. Yeah, that's great. You know, go spend more time together. Yeah, that's great. But if you really, and I think you had said it earlier, if you really want to have a better marriage, then first and foremost, you got to look at the planks in your own eye and ask Jesus to remove them and allow him to work and remove those planks in your own eye. Because when that begins to happen, you naturally grow closer to the Lord, which means you actually naturally begin to grow closer to your spouse. Okay, can we help others? Of course we can. Verse 6, Sid, if you want to come back up here, I'm going to close this up here in a minute. Verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. You're like, wait, what? Well, we were talking about judgment and planks and hypocrites, and then Jesus like launches this little, you know, verse 6 in here. What does this actually mean? And what this means is that after you have removed the plank from your own eye, and you begin to address and to work with someone and to minister to someone, if they don't receive it, they're not ready for that correction that we were talking about, or their heart is not receptive and not open to it. And what Jesus is saying here, tread lightly there. Don't keep pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing. If they're not ready, the more you press, the more it's just going to alienate them from this. This is a good marriage principle as well. We pray for our spouses. We pray for our friends. We pray for those in our lives. If they're not quite ready for it, Jesus is telling us, if people don't want your correction, love, and help, you cannot force it on them. You can't force it on, because the more you try to force it, it just gets trampled on, and it becomes a little bit of a mess. Your job as parents, this is a place where you do have spiritual authority and responsibility, and we need to take action. Our job as pastors, we've said this over and over, we are biblically required by God to speak into your life. And when we see things that don't line up with the Word of God, I need you to know today and moving forward, we're going to speak to those things in your life. And we will do them lovingly. We will do them correctively. I want you to know that we are constantly, me, I'm new on this journey, constantly pulling the planks out of our own eyes. And I want you to know that we love you enough, so much that we are willing to take the risk to bring correction and to speak into your lives. And it's risky. And to be honest, we've abdicated a bit of that responsibility because we didn't understand it. We didn't know it. But this day marks a day on the calendar. Fortunately, some of you may feel unfortunately, but fortunately, we are required to do this. Hebrews 13:17 says this. I think maybe I did. Do I have 13:17 up there? Okay, let me just read this to you. Obey those that have the rule over you. Whew. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Do you know that God has placed us in a position, your pastors here, that we are watching out for your souls? As those who must give an account. We have to give an account for our leadership. We have to give an account for this church, for this congregation. That is no small thing. Back to the earlier comment, if you can say no, you say no. This is a big, important responsibility that God has placed in our life. And we have to, through love. This is a family. This isn't a hierarchical CEO organization where I sit as president of the organization and I just direct. And this is a family. We're a family. And families, sometimes it's messy. We care for you and we want to help you. And we want you to know that this is a place that is full of grace and space for imperfections, that's full of love and of care and compassion for you. So what are the actions? What do we have to do, each and every one of us, as we leave here today? Number one, we have to pray against a critical and judgmental spirit. We have to pray against that. We have to take authority over it in our lives. If you've been listening to me and you catch yourself saying those phrases or making those faces or rolling the eyes or constantly having an opinion on something where you have no responsibility or authority, we must take that to the Lord and pray against the critical and judgmental spirit. The second thing each and every one of us needs to do is see people as God sees them. You know, so quick we are looking at the outward appearance. Even what someone says or how they're acting. But God makes it clear that He's one who sees the heart. And if we could ask the Lord for those who are in our lives that we can see that other person the way God sees them. We begin to truly operate in that. We begin to truly, that judgmental spirit begins to fade away. Because God sees us with a heart of love. Yes, He is our ultimate judge, but He sees us with a heart of love and compassion. And He wants the best for us. Then the third one is throughout the weeks and months, is to recognize those judgmental thoughts and the talk. When you see yourself beginning to go down that route, to arrest that arrest that thought and say, not today. I'm not going down that route today. Recognize them. And then ask the Lord to help you grow in giving grace and space to others. Grace and space to others. Why don't we all stand this morning as we close in prayer? I was going to have anyone stand who feels like they're struggling with a judgmental spirit, but then I figured I wasn't sitting, so I wouldn't be able to stand. So I figured y'all are just going to have to stand with me. Because I think this applies to all of us. It's a challenge in all of our lives to some extent, some more, some less. Just bow your heads this morning. Dear Lord, come to you this morning, standing before you in your presence, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Asking, Lord, Father, we just pray that you would break a critical and judgmental spirit that we carry. Break it now in the name of Jesus. We release it to you. We no longer partner with it any longer. Lord, help us to see it, to recognize it. When we begin to operate it, Lord, just break it from us. Let us walk in the freedom of seeing people the way you see them. Lord, let us walk in that freedom. And Lord, this whole service is about removing the plank in our own eye. So Lord, as we leave here today, let us remember that this entire service is about you being a loving Father who corrects us, who sets boundaries for us, who gave us the Word, this Word that we can read that gives us these boundaries. Lord, you do that because you love us. So Lord, those things in our life which do not align with your word, Lord, do your convicting. Holy Spirit, convict us of those things. Not condemn us, because you don't condemn, but convict us by your Holy Spirit. Make it so clear that we can't walk in that way anymore. Lord, create in us that clean heart. Lord, our hearts are for you, and we want more of you, Lord. So, Lord, I just praise you today for the service. I praise you today for the work that you've done in our hearts and in our lives. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you teach us, you correct us, that most of all, you love us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Guys, as we close this morning, there's going to be some group leaders up here who can pray with you. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, maybe this message just really hits something inside of you that you just need to come up front and pray with somebody. Don't leave today. I know it's like 7 minutes of 12. I don't care about the time. When God is working, time moves quickly. And what I want you to, just take a few minutes. If you need prayer for something, I would encourage you to come up here and get prayer. Or if you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't leave here today without seeing someone and praying with them, if that's you today. So as I close and the group leaders are coming up, I'm just going to read this benediction over you out of 2 John 1. Also part of our reading. Lena, thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Amen and amen. You guys are dismissed. We love you.